I'm going to go over a few things in the book today, and then we're going to do a group project after I finish that. So I'm going to spend about 15 minutes or so looking at a few things from the book. If you happen to want to look in the book and have it, I'm going to look in pages 2 and 3 right now. But there's no need to bring out the book if you don't have it. And there's no need to carry the book around. Okay, so I'm going to start out and say I've written a program. And my program is what is called source code. Okay, now source code is a higher level language. It cannot be understood directly by the computer. Okay? It has to be translated for the computer to understand it. But it's a lot easier to write than it is to write machine language. If you write in machine language, it's tedious at best. And you have to write a whole lot of little instructions just to do a calculation. So it's tedious at best. So in fact, people write in a higher level language. And the higher level language is called source code. Then they use a compiler or an interpreter, and I'm going to use a compiler, to translate it. Okay, so what a compiler does is it takes the code and turns it into machine language. It translates the code. You can also use an interpreter to do this, and your book talks about that. The difference between a compiler and an interpreter is a compiler will give you a translation of the whole program. It will translate the whole thing and give you a translation of the whole program. Interpreters translate line by line. So they may go along for a while and then say, whoops, you got an error. And you have to fix that, and then it will go along a while longer, whoops, I got an error. So the compiler is the thing that does the translating. And if it is successful, it produces object code or machine language. Okay, also machine language. However, if it was not successful, it's going to produce errors. And the errors can go on paper or on a screen. And these errors are called syntax errors. And what a syntax error is you didn't use the language right. You made a mistake in using the language, and the compiler can't figure out what you meant, and it can't translate it. So if I wanted to write add, and I wrote odd, the compiler is not going to be able to translate odd. Okay? Or if I write right and I write R-I-G-H-T and I meant W-R-I-T-E, it's not going to be able to do it. So at that point, you have to go back and you, as the programmer, have to fix the program and recompile it. Okay? And hope that you don't get any syntax errors this time. If you do, then you keep going in the cycle until finally you get it right. Then this object code is the code that you can execute. So this is what I can execute. And this is in machine language, so the computer can understand it and follow the directions. Now, usually I've got some data that I am processing, because that's the vast majority of the things we do, is we process data. And the data might be on an Access database, like what we're looking at now. Or it could be in other ways. The program could be writing onto the disk, or it could be reading from the disk, or it can be doing both. But it's processing data. And then it is producing output. and it might produce a report on paper or something on the screen, or maybe it just wrote stuff to the disk. Now, as the programmer, I have to look at the output, and I am now going to be looking for logic errors. Okay, I'm looking for logic errors. Logic errors are mistakes that I made that the computer can't catch. For example, if I'm doing payroll, and I take and I do a calculation of your pay, and I do it by adding pay per hour and hours worked. So you get paid $15 an hour and you work 40 hours. I add them together and tell you your pay is 55. Okay, are you going to be happy? No. Okay? So, I made a mistake. I used a plus sign instead of a times sign. So that's a logic error. The computer doesn't know what I wanted to do, so it can't catch that error. But when I look at the output, I can catch the error. So I can have good results, or I can have logic errors, okay? And again, logic errors are because I did something wrong. I didn't process correctly. Maybe I forgot to subtract taxes. So you got your pay without taxes being subtracted, okay? That's not gonna work. So I have to go back and fix it. So if there's a logic error, I have to go all the way over, fix the program, recompile it, and hope I didn't make a syntax error when I fixed it. And then if it works, I have the object code, and I can test it against the data and look at the results. So that's for the steps that you go through when you're writing a program. And they talk about that on pages 2 and 3. Any questions? Yeah.
Is this part of just this language, or is it part of all the languages?
It's a part of all languages. All languages that use a compiler will do that. They will translate first, then they'll execute the translation. And if they can't translate, they give you the syntax errors and tell you, I can't translate it. So if I write in Visual Basic, I'll get errors in Visual Basic. If I write in C, I'll get errors in C. So it will tell me the errors that I made. Over here, people have to tell the errors, because logic errors are picked up not by a computer, because it doesn't know what I wanted to do. And in fact, the last thing we wanted doing is fixing and putting in pluses when we want minuses and so forth. We don't want it doing that kind of fixing. Okay, so that's the steps that you go through. The other thing that kind of relates to this is on page 5, where they start talking about the programming process. Okay? And I'm just going to write it on the board. So the first thing is understanding the problem. So as a programmer, I need to understand what it is you need done. And this is if you're writing a game, okay? I've got my ideas for the game, now I've got to convey them to the programmer. And that's why it's good to know a little bit about programming, so you can both talk the same language. Because I have to understand the problem that I want to solve, okay? So I need to understand what I want to do, basically. And then the next thing I need to do is I need to plan the logic. And there's two tools that we use to do that. And they talk about those in chapter 1. One is flowchart, and we've done a little bit with flowchart. And the other is pseudocode, and we haven't done anything yet with pseudocode. But pseudocode means just writing down the steps the way I would in a program, but not using a programming language. Just writing down. First, I want to calculate this, then I want to calculate this, then I want to calculate this, then I want to check and see if the code is an A, and if it's an A, I want to do one thing, and otherwise I want to do something else. And we just write that down in English, and that's pseudocode. So we plan the logic. Then once we've got it figured out, we then code the program. And that's the source code. So I code it in the source code using whatever language I want to, or if I'm doing it for a company, using whatever language they tell me to do it in. So if they tell me to do it in C#, I do it in C#. If they tell me to do it in PHP, I do it in PHP. So I code the program. And then over on the next page it says, using a software, either a compiler or interpreter, translate the program into machine language. So I'm going to compile into machine language, or object code, or I want to compile into object code. Okay, either one of those. So I want to compile or interpret. Into machine language or object code. Then I want to test the program. And at this point, when I test the program, I'm looking for logic errors. And usually when I test the program, I test it, and then I want another perspective so I have other people test it and see if it works. One of the things you'll have to think about is if my program is going to read in data that your program produced, then we have to make sure that you describe the data the way I'm describing the data. Think about how you describe it in Access. If I put ID number, name, major, then I need you to have written ID number, name, major. And if you wrote ID number, major, name, then I'm not going to be able to read it. The name is going to come in as the major, and the major is going to come in as the name, and it's all going to get messed up. So I need to test it in sync with other programs if I am going to be using other programs. Okay, then the next thing that they want to do is put it into production. And that is, start using it for real. And lots of times, people are paranoid. And so when they start using it for real, they keep doing it the old way for a couple of weeks as well, just to make sure that it's working the right way. So if I'm calculating paychecks, and that's probably the most sensitive thing we do, then maybe I want to keep doing it the old way as well as the new way, until I make sure that the paychecks are generating the same way, okay? So that's one thing that I can do. And then the last thing that I need to do is maintain the program. So I need to do maintenance. Now what that means is, let's say I produced this report that puts stuff up on the screen. And the person who has to handle that report notices that I have a column on this side of the screen and a column on this side of the screen. And they want to compare those two columns. So they say, really, it would be better if those two columns were next to each other. And so they asked me, can you make that change? Can you fix it so those two problems are next to each other? So I have to maintain the program and go back and fix that. Somebody may find an error and I have to go back and fix that. This may be a report for the government and the government changes the rules every year, so I got to go back and make the new rules for the government go in there. Okay, if we're dealing with withholding things for the government. So maintenance is keeping the program up to speed. Okay? And lots of times what you do is a lot of maintenance right at the beginning, and then you start saying, okay, now I'm going to look at requests for maintenance every 2 months. But I'm not going to keep changing little things about this program. I'm going to accumulate all the requests and make the change every 2 months. And then it may go to 3 months, and then it may go to 6 months, and that sort of thing. So that I get the things under control. Okay, so those are the two things that I wanted to go over. And now I will talk a little more about the book on Thursday. But now what I want you to do is the project that we have here. It would help if I put in .net. So, here I have the assignment, and down below, this is the database that you're using. And if you open that database, this is the database that's being used. So the database has a whole lot of queries, okay, that I set up. When you look at the assignment, it has a whole lot of questions. And they are questions like this. Which query tests to see if condition A and condition B are true, or C and D? So I'm looking to see if the first thing I want to check in the criteria is true and the second thing. So that would be A and B, or C and D. So you have to look at my queries in the database and find one that checks to see if A and B are true or C and D are true. Now, what you will find is that in some cases there's more than one answer, and that's fine. If you find one of the correct answers, don't worry about finding them all. I just need one correct answer. To do this, I want you to break up into groups of three. Two I'll take if I have to, but I like groups of three. And you have from now until the end of class to work on it and pass it in. If you don't get it done, then it's your responsibility to get together with the people and finish it up afterwards. But I think you can get it done. There are 15 questions, and most everybody got it done last class. So, break up into groups of two or three, yeah.
You're doing this right now?
Yep, right now. Okay, so the three of you, okay, and the two of you, if there's anybody that's looking around, you've got two, it looks like you've got two, and it looks like you've got three, okay? Those two should be on the set. So why don't you relax to sit next to the other one? So we'll go around and we'll be able to sit next. Eric and I are here to answer questions.